Good morning. I would like to wish those who are celebrating the Chinese New Year, Gong Xi Ping An. Today's topic, I'll be talking about kingdom economics. Have you ever felt inadequate? Are there things in your life that you like to do, but your resources are limited or not sufficient? Things that you like to do, but you just do not have the time to do it? Or relationship that you would like to fix, but that you just do not have the energy or the love to do that? Do not give up. This message is for you as we continue on our series from the book of Matthew. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolated place by himself. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolated place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. In the Gospel of Mark, shortly after the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples were very afraid when they were caught in a terrible storm while crossing the Sea of Galilee, and they thought that they were surely died, and they saw Jesus walking in the water towards them. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 50 to 52, it reads, "They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Do not be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage, I'm here.' Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. For they still didn't understand the significance of the miracles of the loaf. Their hearts were too hard to take it in," said Mark in chapter 6. So today we'll be talking about this miracle of the loaf, and why it is so important for us to understand it. It is recorded in all 4 Gospels, and the only miracles that's recorded there is the crucifixion of Jesus at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it is that important that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. I've been a believer now for more than 44 years, and this is one of the most significant lessons that I've learned during that time. And so let me share it with you. But before that, let's pray. Our Father, we know that there are just so many needs out there, and yet we have so little resources. But we thank you, Father, that you are a limitless God. Father, we pray that we would understand the kingdom economics, your economics, and so that, Lord, our understanding of you would be heightened, and that we come to know you closer and deeper. Father, I pray that this 30 minutes message, that you cause it to multiply, Father, so that it could become a lifetime worth of truth to the listeners. Plant it in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I observe 5 lessons we learned from this miracle. The first is that Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus is the eternal God who became flesh and blood. Jesus became a man at a point of time in history. He did so without giving up his oneness with God. The text says that Jesus was troubled after the murder of John the Baptist, his cousin. He was reminded of his own death, which is coming soon, the imminent death. Remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." Jesus was not afraid of death, but by taking on sin, he knows that he will be separated from God. Sin separates man from God. And so separation of God is unbearable to Jesus Christ. So you put yourself in Jesus' situation. What would you do? Wouldn't you want to go somewhere alone to be by yourself so that God can minister to you, so that you could be assured and gain strength by spending time with God the Father? So when a great crowd, you know, came along, what would you do? Would you just, you know, steer the boat to the other side so that you avoid them, so that you do not need to minister to them? Because basically that's what they are looking to Jesus to do, for Jesus to minister to them and not the other way around. But as you know, at that time, what Jesus needs is to be ministered to. It is our human character to look after ourselves, to put ourselves first. But Jesus, instead of steering the boat away from the crowd so that he could be by himself, he steered the boat towards the crowd and he got on board the crowd. So this reminds me of Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, which reads, "Not looking at your own interests, but each one of you to the interests of the others." He did this out of compassion for them. When you're compassionate, you're willing to sacrifice. We see later the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood at the cross so that we could be reconciled with God. The Latin word for compassion comes from the word compati, which means suffering with. Compassion is also the strongest word in Greek for love. It derived from the word guts. It could be translated, "He was gutted, his heart broke." Jesus' life on earth is best summarized by Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, which reads, "Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." What a sacrifice! What a savior! This miracle is one of many that demonstrate the compassion Jesus had for us humans. We don't have to be someone significant or important. Jesus cares. Jesus loves us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The significance of this is very important to us because Jesus is now our high priest, seated at the right-hand side of God, interceding for us. So in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, 16 reads, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do. Yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Because he had lived life on earth, and because he's compassionate, I know that he can identify with our struggle, and he would not overlook it. Knowing this truth, what should we do? We should draw closer to Jesus because we know that he loves us and he cares for us. We should be praying more. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., a group of us at GICF, about a dozen or so, we'll gather together and we pray to God because we know that he cares for us. And this is not for the super saint. It is for everyone who understands the privilege of coming before the throne of the gracious God. So please join us if you are available on Wednesday evening. I cannot imagine praying to a God who doesn't care about us and who is not compassionate, who doesn't care about what we are doing here on earth, who cannot empathize with us. Our prayers will be fallen into deaf ears. Praise the Lord, Jesus cares. He's not just able to do all things, but he's willing because he is compassionate. Yes, he is compassionate. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 54 verse 10 states, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. What about us? Should we, as his follower, be compassionate too? When we see people suffering, are we compassionate? When we see people's relationship falling apart, are we compassionate? When we see people without their daily bread, are we compassionate and want to help them? When we see people dying spiritually, are we compassionate and want to share the gospel with them? My prayer is that we'll be so compassionate that when others suffer heartbreak, our heart break too. And the suffering of others becomes our suffering. In verse 15, we read, now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolated place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the village and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And that's point number two. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. Before this event, the disciples were sent to minister to people. They just got back. And they probably are looking forward to be spending, good quality time with Jesus, whom they love. They were saying, we have done our 9-to-5 jobs. We are tired. Events over. Enough ministering for the day. They would have a perfect excuse too, because if you look at it, what happened happens very spontaneously. They could say to the crowd, sorry, this event happened so spontaneous, we didn't prepare any food for all of you. So please disperse and go to the nearest village where you can still find the nasi padang or the McDonald's still open before it's too late. The disciples want the problem to go away. We often do that too, don't we? However, Jesus wants to drive home the importance of compassion to his disciples. He wants them to have compassion, not just in their mind, but in their action as well. He wants their faith to be about work too, about action. He wants their participation to give the crowd something to eat. By doing so, Jesus is doing beyond, what is expected of him, even during that time where the society is very hospitable. He's running the second mile by feeding them. The text says that there's 5,000 men. And so if you consider the children and the women, it's probably between, 10 to 20,000 people. And if you have to feed 10 to 20,000 people, how long would you estimate it will take? Probably, conservatively, maybe 2 to 3 hours. So even though Jesus was at that time already very tired, and yet he stayed up late into the night to feed the people. He did that to show compassion to the disciples and show them that it is very important for them to be compassionate. What a compassionate God we have. Why is it important for us to be compassionate? You may ask this question. I believe that anyone who really appreciates what God has done for him would in turn be compassionate towards others. This is illustrated very clearly from the parable of the unforgiving servant. The servant who owes his master a big debt, and his master forgive him of that debt. But yet in return, when he saw somebody who owes him a little bit, he was unmerciful towards him. And this is what his master says to him. His master says, "You wicked servant, I forgive you all the debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you?" If we truly understand how much the Lord's love and compassion is for us and undeserving sinners, it is inconceivable that it will not compel us to love and be compassionate to all those human beings that is created in the image of God and whom he loved and whom Christ died on the cross for. Compassion is also a very important part of our Christian living. When asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." How do we love God? By obeying his commandment. According to Jesus, the second and equally important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love God, we do so by loving our neighbors wholeheartedly. And that's why Jesus asked his disciples to put their compassion into action by participating in the feeding of the 5,000. God invites us to join in the miracles he's doing every day. He wants our participation. God can easily do it himself, but he wants to involve us and do it through us. As early as Genesis 1, chapter 1, we read God saying, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds." God did not say, "Let us have dominion." Instead, the Trinity said, "Let them," referring to us human, "let them have dominion." God desires participation, our participation in his work. There's God's part and there is our part. God desires God desires our participation in his work. He make us to rule over the works of his hand, according to Psalm chapter 8, verse 6. He's the creator. We are to help him look after creation. He is compassionate. We are asked to participate in the work of his compassion. Our response to this call of participation should be, "Here am I, Lord, use me." However, you may say, "Our resources are limited, Lord." In verse 17, the disciples said to him exactly that, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." I asked myself this question, how would I react to this problem? Probably very similar to the disciples. I'm a trained economist, and so I would think from the world economics perspective. I would calculate the costs. I would look at my own resources and determine whether something can be done based on that. I would if I want to minister to the poor, how much money do I have? What will it cost? Who will help with the funding? What alternative can be done with the money? How long can we last before our fund runs out? When we think from a limiting perspective, we often make the following excuse for not doing anything. We say, "God has not given me much. What will happen to me if I give the little that I have to others? It's best to let those whom God has given more to take care of this." From the other gospel, we know that the boy from the crowd brought along 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Barley is an inferior product for making loaves. And so we know from that the boy is probably from a poorer family, someone who is maybe in the eyes of society, a little boy, insignificant. But in the eyes of Jesus, Jesus did not reject it. Jesus did not say, "How can 5 low quality loaves and 2 fish be able to feed these 5,000 plus people. Jesus can use anything that we offer up to him. It doesn't need to be expensive or special for God to use it. The main thing is that it must be available. We must bring it to Jesus and bring it with a cheerful heart. God is not interested in the amount of values, but at the willingness of our heart. He wants us to act on our compassion and to share. Along with this gift of 5 loaves and 2 fish, the other great story of generosity in the Bible is of the widow who presented to God 2 small copper coins. And that has become the gold standard of generosity. So whenever people talk about giving, they mentioned about the widow who offered up the 2 small copper coins. It's not a lot, but it's from a generous heart. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking to our participation willingly and cheerfully. We don't have to be a rich person with enormous talent to participate in God's work. We just need to make ourselves and our resources available to God. It is our availability that Jesus is looking for. We could be like the little boy, insignificant from the world's perspective, but Jesus can still use us. A good question to ask ourselves is, what do I have? What do I have to offer to Jesus? It may be little, but as illustrated in this story, Jesus is able to use whatever we can offer to him to accomplish his work. Lesson number 4 is to bring our resources, however limited, to Jesus. Once Jesus blesses it, it is enough. The Bible is full of stories of crisis situations. And guess what? All the crises got resolved when it's in Jesus' hands. For example, the calming of the storm. For example, the turning of the water into wine. And so, for example, you know, when the wine runs out, you know, Jesus was able to turn the water into wine, and so many more. Miracles can be categorized into 3 categories, 3 types. You have the restorative miracles, which is the healing, the casting of the demons, and the raising of the dead. You have the transformational miracles, which is the turning of water into wine, the calming of the storm. And you have the creating miracles, which is producing something out of nothing, or multiplying something which is scarce into something which is plentiful. All these miracles goes to show that Jesus is God. The gospel author John wrote, "These are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." John chapter 20, verse 31. When the apostle Paul was worried about his ability, the Lord answers his concern with words from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." At the start of today's message, we read about Jesus' disappointment with the disciples for not understanding the miracles of the loaf. You can see a lot of miracles, but if you only know the what but do not understand and do not know the who, the miracle performer, it doesn't amount to anything. So if we know who Jesus is, we will not be afraid anymore. So we will not feel lacking. We would know that his grace is sufficient for us. The implication here is, do not be restricted by your limitation, but focus on your limitless God. The implication is, we should offer what we have to God. He can use it. I'm very aware that I'm not a gifted preacher. Being mindful of this, I always begin my sermon preparation by asking the Lord and asking him to help me in the preparation. And so what he would do is he would plant a little thoughts into my mind, and then I'll ask the Holy Spirit to magnify these little thoughts, to increase my understanding, to increase my discernment and wisdom, and so that he would be able to multiply this and make it big enough, you know, sufficient enough to be able to feed the listeners. So GICF is constantly seeking volunteers. Whatever you have, offer it to God, and God is able to make use of it. In our own hands, the resources may appear to be limited, but when we put them in Jesus' hand, he can multiply them and bless others with it. Verse 20 reads, "They all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over." God is able to use the little that we offer and multiply it so that everybody would not just be satisfied, but fully satisfied. From 5 loaves and 2 fish, they're able to gather 12 baskets full of leftover. From scarcities to abundance, praise the Lord. Our final implication is when God asks us to do something, he always enables us to finish the job. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 reads, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." So it's not just occasionally. I'll read this again, and you guys note the word all. It appears so many times here. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. God doesn't call us to something only to leave us to fend for ourselves. He is with us. He provides for us. And he enables us to finish the assignment. If you look at the screen, you will see a picture of me. This was taken many years back with a gentleman called Dave Ray. Dave retired having with Apple for a significant period of his time. In fact, he climbed to become the president of Apple International Canada. Now, while going up his career, Dave noticed that his family life was breaking up. Why? Because he's been spending like 60, 70 hours a week, you know, at work. And basically, this is what you need to do in order to climb up the ladder at Apple. But when Dave read about this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, the things the Holy Spirit impressed upon him is God is a multiplying God. And so what Dave did was this. He prayed to God. He says, "I'm going to commit just, you know, 40 hours of my week to the company. I'll give my best, but I pray, Lord, that you would multiply this effort." And so he prayed that earlier on in his career, and his career just took off because whatever he did, you know, God prospered. God multiplies his work. In fact, you know, Dave was shortlisted to be a possible successor for Steve Jobs. And so Dave Ray understood the difference between world economics and kingdom economics. And so there's 3 things that Dave understood. One is that God's economy is not a zero-sum game. What is a zero-sum game? Zero-sum game is a situation in game theory in which one person's gain is equivalent to another person's loss. So the net change in wealth or benefit is zero. So the pie remains this size. And if you have more, that means I have less. So however, in God's economy, God just needs to say the word, and the pie from this size could get bigger, just in the case of the multiplying of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And so God just needs to say the word, and the pie can be however big God wants it to be. And God is not restricted because He's the Creator. He's not restricted by human laws or restriction. In God's economy, because the pie can be made bigger, we don't have to step over each other to get ahead. And we don't have to sacrifice our loved ones, you know, to do well in our career or in our initiative. And thirdly, that we can always share, even though what we have may not look enough. It is enough because God can multiply it. Jesus is the Creator of all things. He just needs to say it and it multiplied from scarcities to abundance. This is not just with resources. It can be with anything. When your relationship is at a low point, surrender to Jesus and see Him bloom it again. We can apply it also when our health are low, when our wisdom level are low, when our passion and energy are low. Put them in Jesus' hand and see them grow. When we feel hopeless, surrender to Jesus and see Him at work. We must never judge our problems in the light of our resources. Instead, we must put ourselves in a position for God to use us to do something big. You know, during the economic crisis of 1998, my family, we were trying to get out of the timber business. And so what we need to do then was to pay, you know, our workers, a few thousands of them, you know, their severance pay. But we do not have enough money at that time because it was just after the economic crisis. So when we turned to Jesus, what happened was that He was able to multiply a stock that we previously have invested in. And because of the crisis, the stock went down to 1 cent. And He was able to multiply it so that from 1 cent, over a period of 1.5 years, the stock went up to over $1. And so we were able, you know, to take that resources and pay the workers as well as the rest of our debt to the bank. The other story I like to say is also, you know, there was a time when I was mediating a bitter dispute. It was so bitter that the parties were about to bring themselves to court. And this is basically a Christian, the two parties, they were believers. So nothing I said or do would help. So I was low in wisdom. So I asked the Lord, "Lord, please give me wisdom. Help me to be a peacemaker in this situation." And so the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask them to break and to pray. And we prayed together. And so after that, I asked them, you know, just to speak from each of their perspective without mentioning the other party. And so the Holy Spirit took over and a quick resolution was done. Praise the Lord for that. And about 10 days ago, a couple from Europe called me and my wife. They were heavy burdened and they have trouble because they couldn't sleep at night. And it's been going on for more than 3 weeks. And so at 3 a.m. their time, they call us and they say they ask for counseling. And so we asked them and we realized that they were really low in energy and in their faith. And I shared with them the message that I shared with you this morning. I shared that Jesus is compassionate. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He loves us. He can bring whatever limited faith and we can bring whatever limited faith and joy that we have, and He can multiply them. And so I asked them, you know, to bring, you know, their problems, their burden to Jesus. Yeah. And the next day, we were able to receive this WhatsApp message, and they wrote, "We woke up this morning feeling warm in our hearts and light as the Lord has lifted the burdens." So whether you're low on resources, whether you're low on wisdom, or whether you're low in your faith or energy, God is able to multiply them. God cares for us And if God is for us, no one can be against us. So summary of today's message is this. First, Jesus is compassionate. Two, he wants us to be compassionate. Three, our resources are limited. Four, we need to put them at Jesus' hands. And five, God can bless it and turn the scarcity into abundance. Let us put this into practice. At JCF, you know, we help people through our faith in action. And so in this time of the pandemic, you know, many are suffering and FIA helps them. FIA helps the orphanages. FIA helps evangelistic ministries. FIA also helps Bible schools, colleges, students. GICF is also doing a really fantastic job ministering to the refugees. And so over the years, you know, thousands of people, thousands of lives has been impacted through these two ministries, Faith in Action and the Refugee Support Ministry. In 2020, what happened is our general offering went down by 21%. And so as a result, we need to make budget cuts to these two ministries. But with the COVID pandemic, what happened is that, you know, the poor and the needy are getting poorer and the needs among them is very high. The pandemic is also the best time to do evangelistic work. And that's why we're appealing to all of you who are at GICF, you know, to basically look at what God has given us and and see what God will be giving us and make a pledge towards this two important work. You can give now or you can pledge to give at a later time. So we would not ask you to fill in a form or anything, but basically we ask you to pray and ask God to direct you to how much you can give. And then we pray that that you ask God to make those gifts available so that we can help the poor, the needy, those in FIA, as well as the refugees among us. The Lord wants us to be involved in his compassionate work. Our resources are limited. If we make them available to Jesus, he can use them. He can use whatever we have when we give it to his glory. He can multiply what we think is not enough into abundance. Let's trust him to do that. Let's give our resources to our compassionate God and see what he can do with it. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are the God who multiplies, Father. Lord, when we are low in our resources, we can bring it to you and you can multiply. We thank you, Father, that when we are low in our love, in our faith, we can come before you and you can strengthen us. We also thank you, Father, that when we are low in our wisdom, we can come before you. And you said that you give wisdom to those who ask of them. And so, Father, we thank you that you are a compassionate God. We pray, Father, that we'll be compassionate too. Help us to be compassionate. Help us to look around to see what needs there are. And help us too, Father, just as Jesus is compassionate, that we, as your follower, we would be compassionate as well. Help us, Father, during this COVID pandemic time to reach out to help those who are in need. Thank you for being our compassionate and loving God. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.